This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, today I begin a brand new sermon series on the Gospel of Luke. And today's text introduces us to two miracle babies. You know, it's hard for us not to think of any baby as a miracle, because they are such precious gifts from God, aren't they? This reminds me of a story of three men who were very good friends. Each of their wives ended up in labor at the same time, and so all three wives decided to have their babies at the same hospital. Well, while the three wives were in labor, the three husbands were together in another room, anxiously awaiting news from the doctor. Eventually, the doctor came and he said to one of the men, "Congratulations, sir, you are the father of twins." The man then contemplated for a bit and he said, "Well, you know, doctor, that doesn't surprise me. You see, I do accounting work for the Minnesota Twins." Well, about 20 minutes later, another doctor came in and he said to the second man, "Congratulations, sir, you're the father of triplets." And again, the second man contemplated for a second. And he said, "You know, doctor, that doesn't surprise me either. You see, I work for 3M. Finally, about 20 minutes after that, yet another doctor came in. And when he looked at the third man looked pale in his face. And before the doctor could speak a word, the man passed out and fell on the floor. The doctor said to the other two men, "What's wrong with your friend?" They said, "Oh, him. He's a manager for a Super 8 hotel." Seriously, any baby, no matter how many, is a gift from God. In fact, the Bible clearly teaches that human life begins at conception. On the other hand, though, the Bible also teaches that at the moment of conception, we inherit a sinful nature from Adam. King David talked about this in Psalm 51. He said, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." So on the one hand, babies are precious gifts from God. They are dear in His sight. Yet on the other hand, babies inherit a sinful nature, and so they need a Savior. Of course, that leads to a question. Why are we sinful from the moment of our conception? Did God make the world this way? No, He didn't. You all know the story. In the beginning, God made Adam and Eve perfect and holy, but the devil tempted them to reject God, and the rest is our tragic history. And we now inherit that sinful nature from Adam. Paul talked about this in Romans chapter 5 when he said, "Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way death came to all men, because all sinned." So even though newborn infants appear to be completely innocent, lurking in their hearts is a sinful nature that will soon begin to express itself. The only hope for us, then, is that God promised to send us a Savior. A Savior who would be born as a miracle baby. And now we're ready to examine our text for today, which I read for you moments ago. If you look in your bulletin at the first four verses of our reading, you will see that Luke begins this book by telling us that he actually interviewed eyewitnesses who knew Jesus, who saw Jesus, who touched Jesus, who were taught by Jesus. You know what this means? The Christian faith is no mere philosophy for life. The Christian faith is not some mythical story. No, my friends. The Christian faith is based on actual history. Real people, real places, real events. Luke goes on to say that he used all this information he had gathered about Jesus to write an orderly account of his life. And then Luke says that he wrote this orderly account for a person known as Theophilus. Now, who is this Theophilus. Well, there are some who believe Theophilus was an actual person, but others believe that Theophilus was a nickname. A nickname that Luke gives to you, to me, to all who trust in Jesus. You see, that Greek name Theophilus means one who loves God. So as people who have been saved by God, you also love God. And so Luke writes his gospel for your ears. Since he did that, listen closely. If you look at verses 5 through 25 of today's reading, Luke tells us about the first miracle baby. This baby ends up being known as John the Baptizer. Luke tells us about a priest in Israel named Zechariah who had a wife named Elizabeth. Now, as you heard from our reading, they were an elderly couple who were sincere believers in God. However, they had no children because Elizabeth was not able to conceive a child. But this did not stop God from working a miracle. You see, one day when Zechariah was serving in the temple, an angel appeared to him and told Zechariah that Elizabeth would give birth to a son and that the son was to be named John. The angel said that this baby would be filled with the Holy Spirit even in the womb. You see, even though John the Baptizer would be conceived in sin like the rest of us, the Holy Spirit would reach out to him as he did to us and give him a new heart of faith in Christ. On top of that, the angel says things that show how God would actually use John to fulfill the promises of Scripture. For example, at the very end of the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, we read the following about John. Listen to what it says. "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers." Does that sound vaguely familiar? It should, because the angel refers to that prophecy in today's gospel reading. Listen again to the angel's words. "Many of the people of Israel will John bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make a people prepared for the Lord." What an awesome miracle! The angel told Zechariah that his son would fulfill Malachi's prophecy. But sadly, Zechariah responds with doubt instead of faith. All Zechariah knows is that he and his wife are very old, and he also knows his wife was never able to have children even when they were young. So Zechariah doubts that John will even be born. Well, the angel senses this. He then rebukes Zechariah for doubting God's promise. In addition, as a way to discipline Zechariah, the angel took away his ability to speak until the day John was actually born. Well, eventually, of course, the miracle happened. Elizabeth became pregnant by her husband Zechariah. And when this happened, Elizabeth said, "The Lord has done this for me." Elizabeth knew that the conception in her womb was a miracle of God. Now you might wonder, on the day John the Baptist was born, what did Zechariah say then? Well, you're going to have to wait 2 weeks for that sermon. For now, it's time to hear about an even greater miracle baby. You see, in the last section of today's reading, which you can look at on your bulletin, we hear about the birth of Jesus. However, this birth is completely different from John. You see, unlike John, Jesus was not conceived in sin. And unlike John, Jesus' existence didn't begin at the moment of his conception. You see, Jesus did not have a beginning because Jesus is the eternal Son of God. Jesus is the Creator. And so his miracle conception in human flesh will be a sign that something very special is going on. In fact, even though it was a miracle that a barren woman who was elderly could have a baby, here in this case with Mary, the miracle is even greater because, as you will see, she is still a virgin. Remember the exchange between Mary and the angel? The angel said to Mary, "You will be with child and you will give birth to a son. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Mary then responded, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Now, it might sound like Mary is doubting, but she's not. You see, God knows her heart. Unlike Zechariah, who didn't believe that John could even be conceived, Mary is not doubting. She's just curious. She's wondering, how is God going to do this? I'm a virgin. I haven't had any relations with any man. I'm curious, how is God going to bring this about? She believes God will do it. She's just wondering how. Well, the angel answers her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, for nothing is impossible with God." So, my friends, the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin is God's sign to us that Jesus' birth is absolutely unique. The virgin birth is God's sign to us that Jesus is God in human flesh. In fact, this reminds me of what the angel also said to Joseph when he found out that Mary was pregnant. In fact, Joseph was concerned initially because he knew he had never had relations with Mary, and yet here she is pregnant. So he's a little bit upset until the angel clears things up for him. In Matthew's gospel, we hear what the angel said to Joseph. The angel said, "What is conceived in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." And then Matthew does something that Luke also does. Just as Luke shows how the angel refers to the prophecy in Malachi, the one referring to John, here the angel refers to a prophecy in Isaiah, one referring to Jesus. Listen to what the angel says to Joseph. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Immanuel," which means God with us. So how did Mary respond to all this? Well, as I said, unlike Zechariah, Mary responded in faith. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me as you have said." Here we see that the Holy Spirit gave Mary a humble heart of faith that trusted God's promise, even though she couldn't even begin to comprehend God's promise. Now, having said all of that, how does all this information about two miracle babies apply to you, O Theophilus? Remember, you are one who loves God. So how does all this information apply to you? Well, first of all, just as God used John the Baptist to proclaim the word of the Lord so that people could repent of their sin and trust in the coming Savior, in the same way, God continues to use people today to proclaim His word so that the Holy Spirit might move people to repent of their sins and trust in the Lord who has come and will come again. We could all be little John the Baptizers when you think about it. In this sense, God uses us to point others to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Parents do that by raising their children in the faith. We do that by building up each other in the faith here at this congregation. We do that by sharing the word we hear in this place with others in our community. Others who are fellow Christians, but especially those who do not yet know the Lord as their Savior. That's how the mission of God continues in this world today. With that understood, let's talk about how the Lord comes to us. The first time as a baby, and the second time in glory. The first time the Lord came, He entered the world as a helpless infant. Just think about it. Those tiny infant hands. Those little infant hands that curled themselves around Mary's finger. They would one day be nailed to a cross. This was all part of God's plan to save us from our sins. God put your sin and my sin, the sin of all people, on His own Son. The greatest miracle baby ever was nailed to a cross where He suffered the damnation we deserve. And that, my friends, is the greatest miracle of all. But as you know, this miracle baby didn't stay dead. Jesus rose from the grave on the third day after His death, and He now reigns over all creation for us. Jesus continues to come to us, in fact. He comes to us in the waters of holy baptism. He comes to us through the preaching and teaching of His word. He comes to us today by giving us His own body and blood in holy communion. And finally, this miracle baby will also return again in the future. He will return visibly in power and glory, and every eye will see Him. He will then raise the dead, and He will give us believers eternal life in the new creation, which God will prepare for us on the final day. Now, I realize that all this information about Jesus seems humanly impossible. Like Mary, we say, how can this be? It's beyond our comprehension. But then, we must remember the words of the angel. Nothing is impossible with God. And so after hearing God's word today, the Holy Spirit moves us to say, along with Mary, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me as you have said. You see, what you need to realize is that you are also one of God's miracle babies. Remember, you were conceived in sin. You were conceived as an enemy of God. You were conceived without hope. But God changed all that. He worked a miracle. When you were baptized, God adopted you as His own and delivered to you personally all that Jesus did for you through His life, death, and resurrection. You are one of God's miracle babies. He took someone who was by nature an enemy of God, and He made you into His dearly loved and forgiven child, holy and precious in His sight. You are also one of God's miracle babies. And so remember, when you leave this place today, not only are you one of God's miracle babies because of the miracle baby and all that He's done for you, but you also get to be like another miracle baby. You get to be like John the Baptist. By sharing God's word with others, you get to help prepare the way for the Lord to come into their hearts. As we share the word of God with others, the Holy Spirit gives people repentance and faith in Jesus, that they might be prepared to receive the Lord. Thank God for those two miracle babies. Thank God that we are also His miracle babies. Thank God for all that He has done for us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.